If you wake up one day and you don't want anything, you don't have a hunger or a thirst for anything more, then you're really in trouble. Having something to look forward to, something that you want that you don't have now, that's life force.
God gave you your voice and your truth to share. And so all those moments that we're afraid to show up as our full selves are moments that someone doesn't get to hear us that needed to hear us.
I remember sitting in my duplex in LA being like, if I don't give up, I won't fail. If I don't give up, I won't fail. One of the most powerful mantras I've worked with, which I don't recommend unless you really want to change your life, is show me everything that's mine and take everything that's not meant for me.
Has there been a moment in your entrepreneurship journey where you've been like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, SOS, oh, yeah. Like, get me out of here. Like, do I want to continue? Like, did you question yourself? Like, what did you do in those moments and how did you handle that?
Welcome to the Fully Expressed Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna
and Samantha.
And this is a show where we're inviting you into your fullest expression in life, love, and business.
Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back to the Fully Expressed Podcast. On today's episode, we have an amazing guest. Her name is Jaden Hummel. She is a three-time entrepreneur and founder coach. She's built a community of entrepreneurs that has mentored 500 plus people across many industries. She believes that congruence is your greatest competitive edge and understands that companies don't just run on systems and strategies alone. They run on the energy and the alignment of the human that is building them.
This conversation was so beautiful with Jaden because she really, really gives us insight into how to navigate the messy middle between like in entrepreneurship that we all run into all the time, right? Like the moments where we're like second guessing ourselves, don't know what we're doing, how am I not finding out the right answers, getting hard on ourselves, and what does it look like to really look for the evidence to show that you are doing it and that you can do it and that you can continue moving forward.
We know you're going to get so much out of this episode. We can't wait for you to listen.
Enjoy.
Hi, Jaden.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Okay, so you're a leadership coach and a certified or declared serial entrepreneur. You started with window washing and then flipping houses, and now you're helping creatives and founders. So like before we dive into your philosophy, like what brought you there? Like what inside of you was like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Like how did this develop?
Yeah. I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, which is really interesting. So from a young age, it was modeled to me like that risk taking. And I actually was raised on this mantra of if you ever want to make any money, you have to work for yourself. And I was also taught that whatever I wanted to do, I could do. And like my parents growing up, like if I wanted to be a garbage man, they would be like, you should do that. Or I wanted to do this. Like anything I thought of as a kid, I was brought into that supportive, risk-taking confidence, which I'm so grateful for. And the path of entrepreneurship for me is I always knew. It took me a while to get there because I did some things prior to getting to where I am now. But I always just had this sense of I want to do the things in my life that make me happy at the end of the day. I wanted the time to do the things that I wanted. And when I started doing like the window washing company and flipping houses, I wanted the time, energy, and money to be able to do the things that I wanted. And at that point in my life, it was board sports. And so that just motivated me and everything that I thought about potentially doing, that was always in the frame for me. And it was either I was either trying to figure out how to make money or I was trying to figure out how to be happy, but I was always working toward that goal. But it was never actually modeled as an option for me that I could do any of that working for somebody else, which on one hand is really amazing. And on another hand, I'm like, you know, there's different paths, but at my life at that point, like that was the only option I had.
What did your parents model to you? Like what was a day in the life with your, like living with your parents or just growing up with your parents as entrepreneurs?
Did they work together or did they each have their own businesses?
They didn't work together. My dad's a contractor, so he has a construction company, lots of clients running around the city. And then my mom, she is the president of a mapping and engineering firm. But when I was a kid, she was really just figuring out. She was trying like start her own mapping company. Like just that's what I was shown. And growing up with, what did they model to me? My dad was just always like, kind of like, screw it, like, do it, like, why not? Like, I just remember being a kid and he was like, here's how, if you want to get money for something, go to the bank and ask them for a loan. If they don't give you a loan, go to the next bank and ask them for a loan. If they don't, go to the next place. And he just had this way of just figure it out, use your head, try something new. And that's just what I was shown as a kid.
That's such a cool skill set in a way, because I think as entrepreneurs, like someone that I started off in corporate, went into entrepreneurship later. Like, you're not really taught that, like, that easily, but it's such a necessary thing to, like, building a life that you want is, like, trusting that you can figure it out, like, knowing that you can figure it out. And to some extent, I always tell people, I'm like, I hope you don't know all the answers, because you're going to find more answers by figuring it out, not thinking that you know how to, like, get there. It's in the figuring out where you can find yourself.
Totally. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely.
I think, that's too, really like, being taught tenacity to not take no for an answer, because I think also as an entrepreneur, like it can feel intimidating, especially as a woman entrepreneur, to like say, actually, no, I don't accept no. I think as women in general, we're just like people pleasers and we're like, okay, never mind. But I think it's so powerful when you have a figure in your life from such a young age to teach you that.
100%. And I think like the biggest gift of that was that I didn't have any pressure to have it figured out. And again, it's funny because you have two different ends. And so for me, I had no pressure to have it figured out. Thank God I figured it out, because no one was going to hold me to figuring it out. But yeah, that's so much of what it was. Like, I always knew, okay, if this doesn't work, I'll try something else. Mm-hmm. And I will have the affirmation of support in that, you know, I'll still have, you know, supportive people in my field, even if the thing doesn't work out. And it's interesting because so many people have asked me in my journey, like, how do you have the confidence or how do you trust yourself? And like, I was really taught that from a young age, and it's just how my brain was shaped.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I was curious, has there been a moment in your entrepreneurship journey where you've been like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, SOS, like, get me out of here. Like, do I want to continue? Like, did you question yourself? Like, what did you do in those moments, and how did you handle that? Especially with having like your background.
Yeah. I mean, a million times. And for me, I think when I was younger, I was really willing to take risks and do things. And then as I, you know, was like fully in my adulthood, you have your prefrontal cortex develops and you start to think about things. And so there have been so many times where I've lacked self-trust in moments. And one of the things, and it goes into a lot of the philosophy of my work, is instead of just totally doing something else, it's these little things of, okay, if I'm not trusting myself, if I'm sort of in this mode of panic or something isn't working out for me, it's like, how can I do it a little bit more this way? Mm-hmm. Or how can I make myself feel a little bit more confident or a little bit more certain in something? And, you know, there have been times in my life, I was just sharing with you guys before the show, I lived in San Diego where my entire personal and professional network was. Mm-hmm. And then I moved up to the Pacific Northwest, where I didn't have anybody. I knew nobody. I had no contacts. And, you know, I found myself so many times sitting in my living room, like, what am I doing? Like, I just walked away from all, like, all of this stuff starts to come up and you question. But then I really quickly can reframe to, wait a minute, what do I want? Okay, so I'm sitting in my living room. I feel like I just abandoned ship on my whole professional network. Okay, what do I want? I want to connect with somebody. Okay, what can I do now? I'll reach out to somebody I know. I'll have one conversation with somebody who inspires me. And so in those big moments of self-doubt, I try to find those little bridges, because it usually feels like this huge problem or this, you know, impending like pit of doom. And you just have to go, okay, what do I actually want? And 99.9% of the time, or probably 100% of the time, there's one little tiny thing within reach that we can do to build that evidence, confidence, trust, and we're boom on a different path.
So that makes me think about how you, in your work, you talk about like the biggest constraint, or one of the biggest constraints, is the person, not necessarily the strategy that they're implementing in their business. So how do you determine like if it's the strategy or the person, and what do you think it is about the person? Like, is it the mindset, or what is the biggest constraint of the person?
Yeah, our greatest competitive edge and thing that we have is our congruence and our excitement around something. And it's so fun, especially right now, we're living in this world of AI where you can sit at your computer, whether we like it or not, and you can have the computer develop a website, mm-hmm. a brand. It can be your personal assistant. And it's really cool because right now we're being revealed that it was never about any of those things. And being in, you know, I've been working with founders for a long time and I've done this myself. You're like, I just need a new website, or I just really need a new logo. Or if I just knew this funnel, you know, if I just had the right marketing team, I would be able to figure it out. And you used to have to pay a lot of money for that stuff, mm-hmm. anywhere from who knows, you know, like big projects that take a lot of time. And now you can type on your computer and say, act like a world-class marketing strategist. And here's all of this information. And can you do all of this for me? And then we're finding that anybody can sit in front of their computer and do that. Mm-hmm. And so if that really worked, then why wouldn't everybody be, you know, doing everything that they want? And what's being revealed, what I've always known, but it's really cool to see right now, is that it's the human behind it. Because we are the one who has to, even if you have the perfect brand or funnel or store or coffee shop, like you're the one who has to go and meet people, have to go say, try this coffee, it's amazing, or come up with a creative idea to do anything in your business. And even if it's 100% delegated, you have to be the one to motivate the team, to carry the culture, right. like whatever it is. And that takes energy. And if you don't have it or you're not excited about it, you're just not going to get up and do it. And if you are excited about it, you don't need any of that stuff. You can walk out in the street and hold up a sign and do whatever you want, and you'll figure it out. And so it's really our energy that it has always come down to. And it's really cool to be being shown that even more right now.
What are some of the like founder blocks that you've noticed from someone like tapping into that kind of energy? Because, I mean, I totally agree. Because like, I really think you can build anything as long as you're excited about it. Or you can, honestly, you don't even have to be excited about it. But if you just bring energy and you try to sell
really
it.
If you really want to,
like you could sell anything.
Totally.
Yeah. So I'm so curious, like, what are some of the like common blocks that you run into with like founders?
It's so funny when you say that, because I remember my first house flipping story. I was like 21 and mm-hmm. I convinced somebody to lend me $200,000 to do this project. Like I wasn't that passionate about house flipping. I just really wanted to do it. I was like, this is going to work. And it worked. But I think one of the biggest blocks is that we are wired for control, comfort, mm-hmm. safety, mm-hmm. knowing, and we want to go into these experiences where we know what's going to happen. Mm. And a lot of us are really comfortable with things being stressful or things not really working out, or we know what it feels like to have something like kind of not really work. And I'd say the biggest block is that deep down, easier said than done, but deep down, we all know what we want. And if you take a long enough hike or you get clear, you're always going to come back to, it's always that thing, right? Probably when you were like 12, you're like, oh, I've been wanting to do this since I was a kid. I think we all know what we want. We know how we want to do things. We know how we like to run our businesses, or at least we have enough clues. But we lack the ability to trust how it will unfold, because when you're innovating, you don't know what it's going to look like. So if you're like, I'm going to do this entirely my way, it's going to be the way that likely nobody's ever done it before. And you just don't know what that's going to look like. And I think that as humans, we really lack the capacity to either wait it out, like wait until you're really clear. Sometimes it takes like
a long time.
There's some things I've been waiting on, you know, for a couple of years. I'm like, I'd love to get clear on, you know, that one thing. And so it's either the time or just this year, like I don't know what this is going to look like. And we're not quite born with that capacity. We have to train it.
It's like trusting the unknown, or like trusting the waiting. Cause we talk about this too, like the, like, it's not always going to be super clear right away, and like knowing that that's okay too, versus our minds just want to be like, well, why isn't this clear now? Like, I need to know this now.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's uncomfy, right? It feels unsafe. It feels like a threat to the system. Yeah. And the body's like, no, we should know, but you don't really have to know. Like, in the unknown is what you're saying, where the magic happens, and just trusting that it's going to come forward when we need to.
Yeah. And it's terrifying. And sometimes you did need the answer last week. And I think one of the things that's really tough, and I don't quite know the answer to this one yet, I think it's part of the human experience, is that sometimes it is unsafe. And it actually is. Like, let's just say, for example, you were starting from zero and you wanted to start a business, but you needed money to take care of your family. And so sometimes we feel like we don't have the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we really don't in those moments. We have to get creative to try to figure it out. But exactly what you said, if we look in our lives, even in those times where we really feel like it's unsafe, I need to figure it out now. Yeah. Usually we're taken care of, and we always look back in our life and go, that's why I did that. Thank God I didn't have that answer 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's, like you said, really hard to trust it in the moment. And it's totally a spectrum of our, I think, depending on what's going on in our lives, how much we're able to trust at different times.
Yeah, it's like risk and surrender.
Yeah.
Take big risks and be willing to surrender.
Yeah. And then also be smart, you know, yeah. And then also don't.
Yeah, like, yeah, don't make some, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's.
Be sound in your decisions.
Totally.
Do you have a story of like when you've walked through that?
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing that comes to my mind first. This is the more like an origin story even of my work. But as you mentioned window washing and house flipping. So that was my journey. I was trying to figure it out. And long story short, I ended up in this last ditch effort. I got a 9-to-5 at a marketing agency. And I was like, okay, if I can't figure out how to both have money and be happy, at least I'll have a stable income. You know, like that will, that'll be good for me. And in some ways it probably was because maybe part of what I needed at that time was that. But I ultimately found myself in this choice where I decided to leave the agency and I did not know what I wanted to do. I didn't know that I wanted to do any sort of coaching. I didn't have a business idea coming in. I really didn't know. But I did know two things. I knew that I wanted to be able to drink coffee in the morning. And I knew that I wanted to be able to work out in the morning. I didn't want to work before 11 a.m. And I was sitting in my house in Vermont, and that was all I knew. I had zero idea of anything. And so I took those two things. I was like, okay, there's a whole world of things I don't know. But there's two things I do know. So every morning I would wake up, I would work out for 20 minutes in my home gym that I built in the back of my house. And then I would drive 25 minutes to this Red Barn coffee shop in Vermont and I would get a maple latte. And I did that for months and I had no idea what I was going to do. And of course I was trying things on. I was like, oh, what about this? What about that? But ultimately I was just going, okay, I have no idea. This is terrifying. I had zero cushion in my bank account. Like I wasn't like, oh, you know, I have time to figure this out. And I would just drive to the coffee shop every morning and I would give myself those things that I wanted. And through those drives is when I started to get little downloads about this, that, or the other. And on one of those drives, I had this realization that I had multiple people reach out to me that week. Friends, people I knew, people I had coached snowboarding with, saying like, hey, Jaden, I'm between these two job opportunities or something about my relationship. Do you have time Tuesday at 6 o'clock to help me figure this out? And I just went, you know what? Like, I'm gonna charge for this. Like my entrepreneur was like, this could be a business. Like people are. But it was those drives and letting myself get clear that came in. But in the moment, it was terrifying because I had absolutely no idea.
Do you feel like you were able to do that though because you had seen it work before? Or like, how did you because I think that so many people get caught in that fear or that anxiety and then they give up before they actually like get to the other side.
Totally. I remember, by the way, this is about 5 years after that moment. I remember sitting in my duplex in LA being like, if I don't give up, I won't fail. If I don't give up, I won't fail. But totally. I mean, we have this evidence. And what's really interesting, and this is part of my work, is like I train people on these ways to think rather than advice or things like that. But our whole being is wired on evidence, right? You have a story, you have proof that something didn't work out. What's really interesting is we will falsely recall evidence. So I have this client, she's trying to do this one business and she's been trying a couple different businesses for a couple years. And she came to me in a session and she was like, everything I've done has failed. Like, how could I trust that this thing is going to work? Because the last three failed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a minute. Look at prior to 3 years ago, all the stuff that you did, like your career that was really successful. You were like a really successful engineer. You successfully relocated your family to where you wanted to live. You picked up these hobbies that you had wanted to do for 30 years. And so a lot of it is about telling the right story, because we can all do that. We can all sit there and go, nothing I've done works. I always come up short. I always mess it up. Or you can go, oh, you know, I've done some things that work. And so it's in the recall of finding things that affirm the story of where you want to go. You have to be good at that. And you have to be diligent, just like going to the gym. You have to exercise
it's
that.
It's a practice. Yeah.
Every day.
I just watched a video on quantum physics talking about that, how like you have to believe it before it is. You have to be living it as if it is. And if you keep telling yourself that story of I'm not enough, it's not enough, I'll never make it, then that's literally what you're living, what you're creating. And now they're proving it scientifically.
Totally. And then that belief for the quantum physics of like, okay, I'm going to trust and believe. The really interesting thing is that you can look for evidence that you have it. Like, I really like to look for tangible evidence. So, for example, if I wanted to make $1 billion tomorrow, I couldn't say, I'm a billionaire. I have $1 billion. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
But I could say, anytime I've ever wanted to make this amount of money, I did. Mm-hmm. I've done these. I'm the kind of person who never gives up. And so I really like to find tangible evidence that supports that vision, because then we can anchor it and we can actually believe it, because you can't argue with the facts.
I think also, like, bringing it back to what you said earlier, like having conversations with other people that see you in that is like one of the like key things, because we can't do it on our own, especially when we're in the middle of a spiral and we're like, holy shit, nothing's working, you know, like SOS, like this is going to fail, versus like other people can like really reflect back to you. Like, no, like you've been successful. I think even just like having wins, I think when you start a business, like, no, people, for example, I think about like Elsie and her book, people already want her book, you know, and like, you know, like there's people that you start selling one thing. You're like, I'm not going to sell. I'm not making any sales. You sold it once. That's great. You can sell it again. Like, it's just looking at the proving points. But I think our mind is like, it thinks of success as like, oh, I already sold 100 things, or I already have the $1 billion. And you're like, no. It's the steps that get you to the billion, or the steps that get you to the 100 sales.
Yeah. It is so wild that you say that about your friend in the book, because I also, as entrepreneurs or founders, people come to me and they say things like, when will I just, you know, I wanted to just finally. And I'm like, no, there is no just finally.
Yeah.
Because it is amazing, if you don't stack evidence, how much you can achieve and still be fully convinced that it won't happen again, or that it's going to disappear tomorrow. Like, I see this all the time. Like, people, I know people who have made $100 in their business and they feel that way. Mm-hmm. I have friends who make $500,000 a year for the last 10 years and they're convinced that that was their last
year
sale.
Of that,
you know, like that was the one.
Is that
and
crazy?
It's like, it's wild.
The mind is insane.
So there's no, you're never just going to be, you know, fully.
The mind is such an interesting thing. Like, the stories we tell ourselves and the things we convince ourselves to be true, it's like, stop that. Why are you doing that? But I think it's, I mean, it's the human condition.
And I find it so freeing, because when you put that on a pedestal, you're like, okay, let's say I'm here and I want to be here. And if this version of you that's higher up, let's say you want to own a coffee shop and you don't own one, but then you're imagining this version of you that owns one and you're thinking, okay, the version of me that owns one, she'll finally be confident. She'll finally be able to buy that house. She'll finally, you know, have that great brand. But if you realize that that's never going to happen, and you realize you're going to be the same person when you get there, it's actually quite freeing, because you're like, oh, okay, nothing's going to change. I just have to work. I just have to, you know, make the coffee and sell it. And not, like, if you fabricate too big of a reward and you make it feel too far away, it's this distraction. But I actually find it quite freeing that you're like, okay, you could have everything you want and you're going to be the same. You're still going to have all of whatever's here now.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to ask you a question for entrepreneurs where, like, if you're building a business or finding a business that is congruent to you, what does that look like? And how do you find that through the evolutions of business? Because, I mean, we've been through a couple, you know, like, and it sounds like you've also moved through a few different businesses. So how have you found more alignment as you've moved through that?
Yeah.
Can you define congruence too? Because I do not hear that word very often and you use it a lot in your work.
Yeah.
Like, how do you define that in a business context?
Yeah. Congruence for me is when you are, when everything that you are doing is reflective of that of which is true to your soul and makes sense to you. And it can go into any category. It can be, you know, if you are starting a clothing company and you like natural products. Okay, so the product has to be natural, but we don't just stop there. If you want work-life balance, are you taking Monday and Friday off? Mm. Are you making sure that your calendar isn't filled with calls? And so it's congruence all around. And the reason I use congruence so much is because it's that frame of how can I make this feel better? How can I enjoy my work a little bit more? And so going to the question of how do you find the congruent business or how do you, I mean, the answer, if it were easy, we would all just have the most amazing, profound business that we love. Mm-hmm. And the reality is it's curiosity and trust. Mm-hmm. And it's never giving up on curiosity and trust over and over and over again of what would I like to do? What would feel good? What would be the most enjoyable way for me to do that thing? And just trying it on and then trusting in those time periods that either, yes, you can do it that way, or if the idea hasn't landed, and this is the biggest one, trusting that it will come. Trusting that if you're not sure right now, it will come, but using curiosity to get closer to that. And I find that with things like a business idea, like a whole business idea, or even something within the business, what actually fulfills us is moving toward that thing. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes ever, Abraham Hicks, I saw her in San Diego. Yeah. This whole thing was worth the ticket price because she said that satisfaction isn't actually accomplishing something. It's moving in the direction of where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And so in business, if you are thinking about opening a coffee shop, like, I don't know, go hang out in coffee shops, go sell your friend a coffee and see if you enjoy it, you know? And if you don't enjoy it, go, okay, well, what did I like about the coffee shop idea? Oh, maybe it was a community. Oh, maybe I'll host a community event. Oh no, I hated the community event. Okay, maybe it was, I actually liked that it was food. Okay, maybe I'll do a taco truck. And you just follow those little things and try them on. Mm-hmm. And the action and actually trying them is the part, you know, in business, you want to make a lot of mistakes and make them fast and learn from them fast.
Yeah.
This is such a fully expressed moment because, like, in so many ways that is living fully expressed. It's like listening to the desire, expressing it, creating it, and be like, is that something that's going to stick or not, until you can get to that place of accessing your soul's fullest expression in this world through business.
Yeah.
Is kind of what you just said.
Yeah. And you don't know until you go.
I love how you said stay curious too, because I think so many people like either get an idea and then they doubt themselves, or they do it, like you said, and they don't actually like it. And then they're just like, well, it's not meant, like entrepreneurship isn't meant for me, or, you know, I just can't figure it out. Or I hear all the time, like, I'm not creative, you know? And I mean, there's so many things that are creative, like so many things we don't even think are creative. It's all creative, really.
Yeah.
We're all creating. But I think about when I became like a goldsmith, I had no idea that was what I was going to do. I just went to a class and I'm like, oh, I love this. I'm good at this. Could this be a business? I don't know. I'm going to keep learning and see how it goes. And I think before that, I was definitely in that unknowing of not wanting to do what I was doing anymore, but also having no clue where I was going to go or what I was going to do. Yeah. And I think we all, especially if you're pursuing entrepreneurship, come into iterations of that. And I mean, we had someone on our podcast who overnight like canceled her entire membership she had and was just like, nope, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. And woke up to a whole new like desire to create a whole new business. And again, as to what you're saying, learned fast, made mistakes, like moved forward and continued. And I think that's the biggest thing to what you're speaking to is just like moving forward anyways, doing it anyways, taking a step forward anyways.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I
mean,
Corinne and I talk about that all the time. Like, just even if you just do one thing, you're moving the needle forward in your business.
And yeah, making decisions quickly. I think that the best in entrepreneurs is how quickly can you make a decision. But it really mm-hmm. comes down to how much are you going to trust yourself to make the decision that you already know.
Totally.
And if you don't do that. And then also just like the ability to trust a pivot too. Like, especially in entrepreneurship, or like the curiosity of like, oh, this no longer works for me. Or like, oh my God, these community events are selling out, but like, I don't want to do them anymore. Like, trusting that that's okay to let go. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes you can also hold on to parts of your business. You're like, well, this is it making me X amount of money. Yeah. And I need it to survive. Like, there's just no way I can let that go.
Yeah.
But it's in the letting go where you find that new idea, or yeah. the creativity comes, or the space for something new to emerge comes yeah. forward.
It's so funny when you shared about that woman who shut it down. I got chills because mm-hmm. I think one of the things that causes us so much pain as humans is not choosing. Mm. And when we're not choosing something, we are constantly stressed out. I shared this teaching moment in a reel, but it was just really interesting. I was talking about, you know, if you had a dog and you were ambivalent about the dog, like you weren't sure if you wanted it, every time it barked, imagine being like, should I get rid of it? Like, is someone else gonna come and like take care of the dog? It would be so stressful. You drive yourself insane. But if you have the dog, you've chosen the dog, you know, the dog's annoying, but you love the dog. It's like, you just move forward anyway. Mm. And we have all of our pain, not all of it, a lot of our pain in business comes from being in between decisions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, we always know when it's time. Like your friend probably woke up, that woman like woke up and went, it's time. Mm-hmm. We always know. And so, yeah, in those other moments, you just move forward, keep going. And then whenever that answer is revealed to you, as people ask me, should I do it or what's the right thing? Unfortunately, nobody has the answer to life's best questions.
Yeah.
And you can look back on life and go, wow, that was such a good idea that I did that thing. But who knows? Maybe if you did something else, it would have been even better. We really don't ever know. You just have to choose whatever you're in. Choose it fully. Make those micro pivots as needed and see if maybe you can enjoy it more while you can't figure out the next thing that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I think it ties back into what you said at the beginning, too, which is having patience that the answer will come in divine timing. Because I think it is easy to want that amount of money or that answer or that thing on your own timeline. And I see it like anything else. Like, we can want all we want, but it's not always on our, it's never on our timeline, no. really. It's just about releasing and saying, okay, this is what I desire. Like, show me how good it gets to be, and I'll let it come when it's meant to come.
Totally.
Something I say in my relationship all the time, because in partnership, they're just like a mirror of you. I'm always like, I have to trust your timeline. And mm-hmm. I think I say that because I think sometimes when I'm trying to control his timeline, I'm really just trying to control my own. Yeah. And I think one thing that we can take away is just like trusting our timeline and knowing that our timeline is perfect and that it's going to emerge in the way that it's meant to.
Yeah, that's been one of the biggest teachers for me. I was sharing on the pre-show, just chatting, that I've moved a lot. And so I've always found myself like, I can't wait to move, or as soon as I, you know, I can't wait to get out of this place. And then you always leave and you look back and there was something you had then that you don't have now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's really allowed me to trust the timeline is actually realizing deep in my core that I don't want to be anywhere that I'm not right now. I had this realization of that when I was probably 20 years old. And I went to school in Vermont, and I was driving from Burlington to Killington. I was driving to the mountain to go snowboarding on the first day of the mountain. It was a 2-hour drive. And I was there with my roommate, who was one of my best friends, and we're driving to the mountain. And I'm sitting there and I just can't wait to get to the mountain. And I was so stressed that the car ride was 2 hours. And I just remember feeling not pleasant inside. Like, I just wanted to be there already. And I realized it. And I looked outside and I just remember realizing I'm in, you know, the middle of nowhere in Vermont. The sun is coming up over the trees. I'm 20 years old. I'm with my roommate who I love. And this is so fun. And I'm never going to be here again. And in that moment, I just realized, like, why would we wish away the present? because there were so many things I wanted to do at that time. I couldn't wait to get to the mountain. I couldn't wait to graduate college and move out west. I couldn't wait. And now I look back and that friend, I haven't seen him in 10 years. I don't have roommates anymore. How fun was that? Yeah. Like when you had five friends that you got to live with and do whatever you wanted because nothing mattered. And so there is always something, even if you're struggling in business, even if you just got the worst news of your life, there's always something that right now, today, you have that when you hit the next level or you get to the next place, you are 100% going to look back and go, wow, I really had it good in a couple different areas of life.
It's so crazy you're saying that because I went on a walk with my husband this morning. We had this exact conversation because we've been wanting a yard and like I really want ducks and a garden, like what we were talking about before we started this conversation. Like we've been talking about more nature and Austin said to me, my husband, he said, you know, he was talking to his grandma the day before and she's 83. He was telling her how we've been desiring a new location or something new. And she's like, well, you know, if you can't appreciate where you are right now, you're never going to be there's always going to be something wrong with where you are, you know? And that was exactly what we were talking about, is finding gratitude. I mean, we live a block from the beach, you know, we walk every day by the beach. And I'm like, I am so grateful for that. And if this is where we are for now, I'm cool with it. And yeah, it was just about being in the present moment and not feeling like we always have to be forward somewhere else in a different future.
Yeah. It gives me so many chills. And I've, as you know, we're in San Diego filming this. I used to live here. I was so ready to leave. Like, yeah, I was so ready. And I came back. I come here all the time for work, but I was here this weekend and I'm like, I can't believe I used to live here. Like, this was so amazing. And it's so true. It's just the gratitude can really anchor you in. And we're also wired toward expansion. And so we're wanting something else, but it's really just moving closer to what we really want. And so we have to get clear on what do we really want? Cause it's not about the ducks. It's not about leaving San Diego. It's something else.
Yeah. Technically you could have ducks here too. Not in my current house, but it's possible.
You know, since we've been having this conversation a lot, like, do we leave here? Do we stay here? Do we go towards nature or not? And I keep asking myself, like, what are the things within that that I'm like craving? And and it feels like simplicity. It feels like grounding. And like you were talking earlier that you moved as well. It's supposed to be a month, but you turned it into 2 years. I also think like listening to that gives you the answer to what you're seeking in a way. And like, I know we're both seeking something and I'm just like, what does my system, my body, my soul need to like experience, embody and integrate so then that next version of me can come forward? And I was telling her, I was like, none of this is permanent either. Like if we decide to make changes in our life, like I can always move back. I can move somewhere else. I could change. Like, it's not forever. And I think sometimes you get stuck in making a decision like, oh, this is going to be my forever. I'm going to give up the beach forever. Like, no, like maybe whatever the decision is. But I do think back to what I was saying is like, we need those experience to embody, to integrate, to learn, to experience whatever our soul is craving in that moment so that the next version of us can come forward.
Yeah, 100%. And it's in those times of like wanting. It's so good because people hire me and they hire me here and they want to be there, you know, every time. And they'll say things like, oh, Jaden, I've been trying for so long and I want to be there and blah, 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 whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, that's like the greatest gift. And they're like, what? I'm like, having something to look forward to, something that you want that you don't have now, that's life force. If you wake up one day and you don't want anything, you don't have a hunger or a thirst for anything more, then you're really in trouble. And as long as you're sitting here today and there's a whole world of things you haven't yet created that is, you know, keeping you up at night, that is the greatest privilege and gift. It's desire, passion, satisfaction. I mean, it's the most incredible thing we can have.
Yeah. So I was talking to another friend and she was like just sharing how like she struggles to share, like act on her desires. Like she like asks for things, but like there's like certain things she's like, oh, is this right now the right time to ask for this? Like, do I really want to do this right now? And really the answer for her is just like start doing it. And I think sometimes you can also get in this place of like wanting the desire, and if you expect the desire to happen, right, like an ask, you're like, well, if I'm asking for it, then I want it to receive it. But if you're also asking for it, that means you can also get a no. So how would you navigate that in
conversation with someone that like asks for what they want, they're desiring it, but right now it's a no, or the universe or their timeline is just not aligned for that.
Yeah. One of the most powerful mantras I've worked with, which I don't recommend unless you really want to change your life, is show me everything that's mine and take everything that's not meant for me. Mm-hmm. And really being okay with releasing that, because it's that attachment that repels. Like, we know this, right? We're like, if you're really attached, it's not going to happen. But actually being okay with letting things that aren't there be shown to you, because it's usually the things that we're still gripping onto. It's not that we have to get to the next place, do the thing, make the decision, start the business. It's usually letting go of old stories, letting go of whatever you're doing on Monday morning, like letting go of the things that aren't it, that are gonna reveal.
So good. And I think it's like, we're all chasing a feeling. We think it's a thing. Yeah. We think it's a physical manifestation or a physical thing, but it's actually a feeling. And it, when you recognize you're craving a feeling, then you can let those other things go that aren't meant for you, because you're actually desiring a feeling. And if you ask, okay, that's what I want, it's going to bring you that. It just might not be in the form you think it is.
Totally. And it is, right? It's like, it's not that. It's such a big teacher for me. And I have to remember that all the time, as a, I'm sure, you know, everyone in this world of personal development, we're highly motivated. We're goal oriented. We're like, let's go. Let's see how good this life can be. But that it is the feeling. And I've had to pull myself through that so many times. There was a time, actually, when I moved to Rancho Santa Fe down here from Los Angeles, I really wanted gardens. I wanted land.
Oh, hey, we know that feeling.
Yeah. We're like, hey, we're so happy in SoCal, but we want more land.
Yeah.
But I had, it wasn't really, I don't even garden. Like, I don't even garden. I just wanted that feeling of being like a slow morning and feeling content with my life. And then, of course, I could sit in my duplex in LA and I could have a slow morning. I could be content with my life. And I, my message would be that you can do both. Mm-hmm. You can feel that feeling. You can be completely satisfied and grateful. Mm-hmm. And you can understand that satisfaction is moving even more toward where you want to go. Mm-hmm.
So good.
I love that.
Okay, now it's ask you like a fully expressed question. So where in your life are you craving to be more fully expressed? This could be life, love, or business.
I'll answer it honestly.
Yes.
Which I wouldn't normally do, but since we're on the podcast. But I would actually say probably with, so social media is a lot of where I share my work, whether it's a podcast or it's on social media. But finding how I'm fully expressed in like my life, even with clients in the rooms that I've created, but I have this desire to be more fully expressed online, not necessarily online, just in public, in, you know, the eye of somebody who I don't necessarily know how their response will be. And I know for certain that I have a really big growth edge on the other opportunity of saying certain things, certain ways that I view the world, this, that, or the other, that I might be afraid of how somebody will react to it. And as I say that, I am aware that our biggest limitations are often our biggest opportunities. And for me, I do think that that's a place where I've really wanted to curate that safety and control of how something will be.
Like, you want to be a little more woo-woo on there?
Not woo-woo. I think like, it's like,
can you give an example of a viewpoint you think would be controversial that you feel, that you believe?
Or a stage that you feel like it'd be scary?
Yeah. Just sharing my opinions in general, okay, which is really interesting because if you knew me personally, I have all sorts of opinions and I share things, but I have changed a lot, let's say, over the last 10 years. And it's been challenging for me to like upgrade my messaging with what I'm doing now. And so it's funny, like when I started my business, I lived in Vermont. I shopped at the thrift store, you know, and then I grew up and I moved to California. And I, let's just say, for example, like buy clothes that aren't from the thrift store. I totally had people in Vermont or totally people from my old life go, oh, interesting. Like, that's against the value set that you once maybe had. Mm-hmm. And so anything along that line of just letting my brand, my message, who I am, upgrade in real time, which has been hard for me as somebody who I feel that I have rapidly evolved.
Yeah.
I feel like that's
relate to that.
Yeah. I feel like that's a common, I mean, even in, I think about my family, like I have family members that hold on to high school versions of me or 20-year-old versions of me. And I'm like, you get to know me now. That's not who I am, you know? But I think it's hard for people, for some people to let go of the person that they've like gripped onto, the personality or the identity that made them feel comfortable. So then when you shift your identity, it becomes this kind of dissonance with the people who are still holding that old identity of you.
Yeah. And my process with it, because through this lens of congruence, which is how I live, is I need to figure out why it matters, why it's congruent. And I share this with clients and people, like when you do something, you have to ask yourself, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I sharing this? And how do I want people to receive it? And with some of the things, I just haven't become clear on that. Like, I know that there's this desire to be more fully expressed in these random opinions I have and these random values I hold. And it hasn't quite clicked for me of why it matters. And so that's been my process.
Being fully expressed mean to you?
Being fully expressed, what comes to me would be being honest. That's what I hear. Being honest.
Sometimes being honest means not being received in the way you want to be received too, though.
Yeah.
I think this is also like such a great conversation because I've struggled with this and like some of our community members have struggled with this. Like, I'm so honest. Like, when I show up online, like, I want to be like the most honest in parts of me. And then also there's like this other version of me that is presented or received by other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bigger question I ask myself is like, why do I have to be so honest to them or on this public social media account? I think that's what you're trying to answer.
Yeah.
Like, why does it matter so much to me? And sometimes I tell myself, well, maybe it's through the action of doing it, well, I'll find out why it matters to me.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could use a little bit of that.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, okay, well, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does, it does. And gives me a little bit of clarity. But that's something that I've like, especially with being fully expressed. I'm like, if there's something here that is either calling me forward or just like a little sticky, I'm going to find out through the movement, not in the trying to answer it with my mind.
Yeah.
I try to think for a very long time, I never really cared about what strangers, how they perceived me, but like I did think about my high school friends or college friends or like my family. And I'm trying to think like what clicked, because one day I just stopped caring. And I'm like, I'm just going to speak my truth.
Yeah.
And I think it's just I just started doing it. And I did it, like you're saying, in the spaces I felt comfortable in. And then I just pushed myself to show up more. And I definitely received resistance. And I still receive resistance. But I also recognize that I'm speaking from my truth. And it doesn't have to be we talk about this a lot. It's not up to us how we are received. Yeah. We just have to speak what's on our, of course, like you want to come from a loving space. Like you never want to be mean, but like, if people aren't ready to hear or receive your message, they just won't be. And I mean, we've gotten backlash. We've gotten.
Yeah, I think that's why we've grown in that though, because like we've created our capacity to be able to hold someone's resistance. And what's so wild online, because we've gotten like,
Some serious hate
on some stuff. And,
good for you guys.
Anytime you talk about like
I don't get
men
hate.
And women but this, dynamics.
This was like the breakthrough and like the realization moment was like, holy shit, like people are responding to me from their reality. Like they have no context. They don't know me. I'm just like,
oh yeah, they're making just, assumptions left and right.
I'm just saying this one thing and they think that I'm talking at them or that I'm in the room with them and I'm their partner or whatever. And I'm just like, whoa, like
so much
your reality is like in a totally different reality than where I was at. Like I didn't even say that and they'll just take it and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when that gave me clarity, I was like, I can't control or manage how anyone's going to receive me. And I'm not in their reality, but all I can do is speak my truth and see what comes forward or put something out on the internet and see what happens. And
It's super freeing.
It is super freeing and it's super eye-opening.
Yeah.
Like at first.
At first you want to defend yourself.
I'm inspired. I'm like, yeah.
At first you do want to defend yourself.
Yeah, you're like, you don't know me. Like, let me explain myself further. And then you try. And at first. Just like, and they're just.
And then you realize.
You realize like they're coming from a completely different perspective and they're not going to see you. And they can't see you. Like, you can't see all of one person online. Yeah. I think that's why people struggle sometimes to like show up, because they like people are clickbaity and they like take one thing you say out of context and they tell a whole story around it. And that's so frustrating because you're like, you don't even know me. So I can't even imagine being a massive influencer that's sharing all their life. But I also think like you have to just, it gives you a strong backbone. You just don't care after a while. And once you stop responding and you stop trying to explain, you're just like, I don't need these people to know who I am.
And I'm just like, okay, you run with it. Yeah. Create your own story.
Sorry, that's happening for you.
It takes so much bravery. I was thinking about this in the grocery store this weekend, like to show up online.
It does. It takes a lot of
courage. Especially now there's bots. I mean, there's so much coming at you that like you don't even know if they're real people or not. And sometimes like people are so judgmental and mean. And I think the more you realize like this is all their projection and it's become like a safe place for people to unleash their anger towards people because there's no accountability. I feel like you just have to be willing to show up. And I mean, what was the one person came on and said like, hey, like more haters means like you blow up on Instagram. So, you know, it's thank you for the publicity. Like, thank you for the expanded, you know, reach that you're giving me.
Yeah. But, and I'm just hearing you guys talk and there's so many people, right? Like there's enough people that you will resonate with. And what's coming up for me is like, you wouldn't want to have coffee or have those people over in your living room anyway. And anybody that walks through this is, I'm like realizing this as I'm hearing from my reflection from hearing you is like, why would I care what somebody says if I wouldn't want to have them in my living room? You know, like if somebody would take something and run with it about you.
That's so good.
Whatever.
And no, even you're speaking. Yeah.
Just let them.
I was going to say, too, you're speaking to congruence, which is all about like energetic harmony. Right. And so even if it's people, you know, like even if it's people from Vermont or wherever that are judging you, like they're holding those judgments either way.
Totally.
You know, so whether you say something or not, and really you're just holding a mirror to them. And I realize like we're all just mirrors for one another. And you're either able to look in the mirror and ask yourself, why is this triggering me? Or you're not there yet. And that's not really for us to deal with. That's for each person to figure out for themselves. You're there to like stand in your truth and feel in your integrity.
Yeah.
Something that anchors me that I just thought about. And this is just like moving through life, whether it's like in conversation with friendship or viewing online or saying something on a stage, is like me feeling confident and true and congruent within myself is inherently good. And whatever comes up for that person is also inherently good. Yeah. Right? Like it can cause chaos in their life. It can cause a whole mess. And that's also good. Like, and so whatever is inherently good for me is also inherently good for you. And if I can trust that and that God's got you and you can navigate this, that's onto you. But I'm not going to hold back because I'm scared that you can't handle it. And I think me trusting that people can handle it gives me more trust within myself that I can handle it too.
Yeah. It's so that I was navigating a business partnership one time and I had to end it. Mm. And it took me like a week to send that message. Mm-hmm. And I just had to go, okay, if this person's going to have an adverse reaction, that's exactly the medicine that she needs. Exactly. And me speaking my truth is going to create whatever. It was so interesting. I was driving to La Jolla yesterday and there was almost an accident with a biker in a car. Oh, no. And then like the biker flipped off the car, you know, like the whole thing. And I was like, well, maybe that was what
the biker needed
to realize that he should stop yelling at his coworker every Tuesday or whatever. You know, he almost, you know, got in a car accident. And that's a really good reminder. Just always thinking everything when you are honest, and I would say like when your congruence is your greatest contribution to the world, and so holistically in every way, in business and in other people's soul path and purpose.
And we're all unique. Like that's the cool thing, is we all have our own experience. Like God gave you your voice and your truth to share. And so all those moments that we're afraid to show up as our full selves are moments that someone doesn't get to hear us that needed to hear us.
Yeah.
This makes me think our world right now, I think, is so much divide because one, we can't be congruent and honest. And two, Like, we just don't know how to handle someone else's perspectives. And I think the medicine in us being honest and sharing our opinions is teaching people how to have different opinions and mm-hmm. be like, maybe I don't agree with you, or like, maybe our values are different, but I understand it and I hear you, and I don't have to be an asshole, or I don't have to be mean to you, or like, it can, we need to learn that. We really need to learn how to hold multiple different values, disagree. Like, if you're not disagreeing, then you're not being honest in relationship. And we're all over here trying not to disagree with each other. But I think it's what's hurting our world right now in every way is that we just don't know how to disagree.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating because the whole world is in this polarity, black, white, married, divorced, this, that. But none of us actually hold these really stark contrast views.
No.
And so just like we were talking about in business, so just weird. Try a little bit here or there. Just try a little bit. Instead of saying, you know, I don't like this, I like that. It's like, what do you actually like? Oh, I like it a little bit like this, a little bit like that. You know, I kind of agree with this, but I kind of don't agree with that. And there's this comfort and safety of being like, I'm over here.
It's like black and white versus the spectrum.
Yeah. And so honest conversation and the curiosity of who am I really? What do I really want? I ask myself that question 1,000 times a day. What do I really want? Mm-hmm. And you can ask yourself, what do I really believe in? What do I really value?
And as Ram Dass would say you don't know, but in truth, you really do know. You just have to get quiet enough to listen to it.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much.
This was so good.
So fun.
Thanks so much for being here. And also like coming out for this too.
Yeah, we the world. Appreciate it.
It was the best reason to be in San Diego, and I appreciate you having me on, and that was so fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways, as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you. More honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.